Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. In today's gospel, we hear these words in the third chapter of Luke. But our readings also have verses from the first chapter of Luke, because that's where the canticle of Zechariah that we sang instead of a psalm came from. The song of joy that bursts out from the father of John the Baptist at the naming of his son and proclaiming how John will be a prophet. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way. But today's reading in the gospel about John is some decades after that. This gospel, it's not about John the baby, it's about full-grown John the Baptist, the now adult son of whom Zechariah had sung. John, living into his role as a prophet, fulfilling the words of Isaiah as the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." But do you think that John's father thought his son would literally become a wild man out in the wilderness? I don't imagine that's how Zechariah envisioned John's call when that joyful canticle burst forth from his lips that his son would be a prophet. I don't imagine other people either would have looked first for the unkempt, smelly guy from the wilderness. But when John was writing his gospel, I'm sorry, when Luke was writing his gospel and talking about John, he very intentionally made sure that John the Baptist was connected to the mighty prophets of old. He introduced John by rolling the credits about the powers of the era. Why do we need to hear that it was the 15th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius and of Pontius Pilate and Herod and Herod's brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis and all? Why these austere, powerful names at the beginning of chapter 3 in Luke's gospel? Well, they're not just there to strike fear into the heart of the deacon who would have to read them. They meant something to the people because it's the way many of the ancient prophets of Israel were announcing themselves. Isaiah tells us that he served as a prophet during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. The book of Jeremiah says the word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah. Luke introduces John in the way that the Hebrew scriptures introduced the prophets, establishing John's creds, so to speak, in a recognizable way, and more so, establishing a continuity between John and the prophets of old. This actual voice in the wilderness is the one that the prophets spoke of. So when John says, "Prepare the way of the Lord," you had better get ready for the Messiah. Prophecies are coming true in your day. Some cues are there in Luke, right? Because what is happening is not what they might have expected. The message comes to them from the edges, from the wilderness. But it is clear what this prophet's message is. It's to clear the road for the one who's coming. That's what John was doing. And it was time. The road needed clearing. But when wouldn't that have been true? Why should the people start paying attention to John after 400 years of silence, so to speak, from the Hebrew prophets, when all along, still, and right up to our time, there was and is plenty in the road that needs clearing? Luke calls up the towering prophet Isaiah to legitimize and lay claim to John's time as the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "This is the guy, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." But here's the thing. How could they be sure? I'm taking a class down at St. Placid Priory in Lacey, and we're exploring ways that we recognize the Spirit at work in our hearts and in our lives. Some of my classmates talk very concretely about what they experience of Jesus, how they hear Jesus. My experience isn't as loud as some of theirs, and I confess that sometimes I'm confounded by that. And by confounded, I mean curious and envious. But one day, I shared in class how my practice is to pray for Jesus to be with us and guide us when I'm meeting with somebody who's in a difficult situation. And one of my classmates said, "And does he answer you?" And I said, "No! No, he doesn't." It just burst out because I don't feel like I am getting the concrete answers that I would like to instruct Jesus to give me. Has anyone else ever felt that way? But then another woman, sitting off in a quiet corner of the room, looked me right in the eye and said, "Are you sure?" And I knew that was Jesus. Karen's eyes and gentle voice just pierced right in. "Are you sure you're not hearing from me?" With a twinkle, not with a finger. There Jesus was. I can't explain it better than that, but it was a powerful aha moment for me. God saying, "You do know me." And I realized, I do. But wow, I had some clearing of the path to do, of my expectations of how I want this relationship with the divine to go. Of my thinking, God isn't really talking to me right now because it's not the way I would write the script. Well, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, not the way you'd write the script for the herald of the Son of God, right? Or the voice of one in the corner asking, "Are you sure?" when you say you don't hear Jesus answer. What is in the way of recognizing God's presence in your life? Are you like me, and you can build up too many expectations of what it's supposed to look like according to you? Are we trying to control the relationship with God? Clear the road. Clear it from our own expectations of what the Spirit ought to be sounding like, and recognize the Spirit drawing us in her own way. Because there's not just one way. And it won't be the same way for you or me as it is for somebody else. And it most certainly is not going to be the way of some expectation I concoct for myself. Prepare the way of the Lord. Clear away trying to direct how Jesus comes to us. And give him a clear path into your heart. So many of us identify as spiritual seekers, yearning for deeper relationship with the divine. That's our work here in Advent, right? To clear a path, to welcome Jesus anew, but also to recognize the Jesus who is already here and continually coming, because we are inexorably drawn by God's love. Reframe your seeking. If you feel deep yearning, it's not because you're not in relationship with the Spirit. It's because God's love never stops drawing you. No matter how close we get, we always want more. On our best day, we don't say, "There, I'm connected with God. Good to go." We want more. Our hearts are restless till they rest in thee, right? So don't get bogged down there, feeling the yearning as a negative, as a lack. Lean into the yearning and open your heart to the experience that you are recognizing God. If you clear the path of your expectations of what God and relationship with God should look like, the deeper you get, the more you yearn. Let that be our cue as Christians. That's a profound thing. It will not stop. Jesus keeps coming, and we are being sought in love. Can we turn our gaze into our wilderness, to our wild-haired, to our baby in a manger, to the places where we wouldn't expect in our own day, in our own metaphors, in our own hearts? What happens when for us we tune in and we make space and we start listening and we turn our inward and our outward gaze in a way we're not used to? That's when we clear the path, and there's God, who's always already been there. The prophets didn't look like they'd have them look. Jesus didn't come the way we'd have him come. We don't get the answers the way we'd script them. But people were still drawn to the Jordan in droves for the baptism of John. And we're here in this church and out in the world, living our lives as people who follow Jesus, preparing our hearts in Advent for the God who comes to us as a vulnerable baby, knowing that is the answer we are listening for. The Word made flesh dwelling among us. Ruth Stone wrote, "Don't confuse hunger with greed. Don't be mad at yourself for yearning. Don't confuse your yearning for more connection with Jesus as absence of connection either. Lean into the yearning for more God. That is ever our Advent preparation. We're waiting for Jesus. Recognize him already here, always drawing you with his love."